I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Plot Against America After Show. We're on part six, the finale of the limited series. We've been with you guys the entire way, and we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of questions. But before we do any of that, I'm going to give you guys an introduction to who you've been with along the way. We're like family now. We got Ricky Vitucci, who he's so great. He's the realest. He's the realest. And then we have Cody Epperson, who I guess wins for the best background. As you guys know, we are doing our best to stay at home and do our quarantining and all that. And Cody, you get the award for cleanest looking house. And then we got Kitty Boone in the house.
In the house,
in the house, the one and only.
Literally,
she hasn't left the room for 2 weeks.
we're not sure of that. That's for sure. And I'm D'Angelo Friday. D'Angelo Platt Friday today. I don't know if you guys see the name on there, but we have. We got a show to review today, and I already know that you guys have your opinions on it. This was technically the conclusion. How did you guys feel? What were your emotions once the credits started rolling?
I was excited. I was excited to see where this finale was going to go with all the question marks that we had throughout the whole season leading into the last episode, the finale. And I was going to see, hopefully, my predictions were right or wrong, or just see a development and give us some answers. And it did good. It did good all the way up until the end. And I was just like, WTF.
Yeah, I share that sentiment. It was for me the whole episode, my anxiety was just up here because I was waiting to see what was gonna happen. I didn't know. I felt like someone was gonna die. I didn't know what to expect. And then all of a sudden, it was time for the credits were about to roll, and I was like, "Is it really? This is ending right here." And then the credits started going. And I was like, "But what happened?" So. yeah, there's a lot of questions.
So my take on this, y'all already know, I was not clearly the biggest fan of this. I love the acting, writing. There's lots of elements that I enjoyed, but for the most part, the story moved so slowly. And then a lot of things were just not in my opinion, and I'm a smart girl, but I was just like, wait, what does this have to do? Anyway, this particular show, I was underwhelmed all the way around. There were only two or three times that I was literally like, what's about to happen? What's about to go down? Which I guess is more than zero. So I guess that's a good thing. But yeah, I'm same with Cody, same with Ricky. I was so disappointed. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I already hated you. And now you're going to shut down on me without even making it make sense. I was thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah. So this, this show... I think I'm with you guys. It was very interesting in the sense that, like, I think we started to get really invested in this show because we were like, man, how is this going to end? Like, because we're getting so many details, like, and then the way that the part six opened, it was like, man, this is going to be crazy. Like, I don't know, we got like KKK and like, it was just a lot happened. But all of it was exciting because you were like, how is this going to all have a bow on the end of it? And so I'm with you guys that, like, I don't know how, if this was a satisfying conclusion. It did also make me kind of start to research so I read this book in high school, but I don't remember anything from it. I just remember that's because I spark notes it right before a test. So I revisited the spark notes to be able So I revisited the spark notes to be able to see what the differences were. And I would love to talk to you guys about that. But before we even do that, I wanted to know, how did you guys interpret the ending? Like, what did it mean? The last thing we saw, just as a reminder, we saw them listening to the radio station. It was election day. The announcer is giving some inconclusive information. We don't know if Roosevelt's going to get reelected or not, but there was basically a montage before that well, you know what, I don't need to review it, but they basically insinuated that some corruption was going on. Everybody has seen it. But how did you guys interpret it, the concluding scene?
You know, I was just like, I hate saying this, I really really do, but I was just thinking, like, America has been America since the 1940s. Like, shit that was happening then is, like, still happening now, I'm sure. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's I just, there's so many emotions and there's so many things that I want to say, but I want to be politically correct. And I want to make sure that I'm not stepping on anyone's toes or accidentally offending anyone. So I'm just going to end it at, I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. And I sure hope that it didn't look exactly as it was, but I'm sure it probably did.
And to be clear, because everyone is kind of saying that, you're saying that you didn't like how the writers decided to put a bow on this. Not that you didn't like the show or anything like that. You guys
No, right.
I just didn't like, you didn't agree with the decision on how they ended it. What about for the, because I think that's everyone's opinion. What about the ending felt like unfulfilling?
I mean, there's just so much. There was just, we don't know who's the president now. We don't know what we're going about to fight. Like there was just no answers. Like there was just, and the message that was being said over the radio was not really clear and definitive. Like this is a limited series. So like when you end it, you have to end it with some answers. Like, and I feel like there are still so many question marks.
So, and obviously this is for everybody, but I think we all pretty much have a similar opinion with this. So I'm asking this, and I'm also going to think about it too. What do you think the writers were trying to convey with giving this conclusion?
I don't know.
Well, Kitty, the way I see it, because I was kind of confused by the ending as well. And I feel like, one, I haven't read the book. So a part of me thought maybe this is an open ending because maybe we haven't finished the whole book. Maybe there's going to be a second part. I don't know. It feels like it should be the end. So I don't know. I do think Ricky touched on a really good point. I think that it's also seeing like these, they're taking the ballot boxes and burning the votes. I think it's not a sign, it's a message to viewers like, yo, like this is what the government has done. And we're still seeing this today. Like if we want to see change, we kind of got to make change. We have to get involved and know what's happening. We have to be aware of things that are happening that could, and actually, ooh, there we go. And things that could be happening, which is kind of what this whole series is about, is like, this is what could happen.
Yeah.
And so I think the creators had a lot of, they really put a lot of thought and care into how this was presented. And so I do think there is a huge message at the end there. However, a little bit on the juxtaposition of it, I do think that in my experience, HBO is not always the best with their endings. So like they put on great, I mean, they have amazing content. Whenever we have the opportunity to record on a show that's HBO, I'm like, I want to jump on that. But in the past, sometimes people aren't always thrilled with how they finish things.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I knew that's where you're going with that. I don't know that that's always up to the actual network, though. I mean, I don't know the intricacies of how that pecking order goes. Like, is it HBO that makes a decision like that? Or is it up to the writers who have been paid gobs of money to come up with great endings or great content in general to be able to shoot out what it is that the people want to see? I don't know who makes that decision. So that would be a great question to ask Cody of, like, who does decide how this, you know, comes to fruition or how this ends? I would have to say, though, in answer to your question, D'Angelo, that the writers, I think in their, and obviously we don't know, but if I had to speculate, it would be that because this is a historically driven show, and obviously these people are not real people, they did not necessarily exist. These are characters that are made up, fictional, but at the same time, these events did take place. So these things really did happen. So we know who got voted president because all we got to do is open a history book, but how they left it kind of, and again, just speculation, I think that they're doing, which is so awesome, art imitating life. You know what I mean? So like we are at a time right now where the presidency is not something that most of the, I mean, we're just deeply divided as to how we feel about the president and whether or not he's doing a good job and whether or not he's running the country effectively, especially with us in a pandemic right now and what choices are being made. So obviously a pandemic is not the mirror image of what was going on then, but there were issues that needed to be addressed in such a way that it made things be closed down and had to be reopened and people, communities, neighborhoods being under attack based on, you know, color and ethnicity and all kinds of race. Other stuff. So, thank you. And all of those things, though, are not like they don't mirror what's happening. I get that, but that's what makes art dope, right? Like it takes a piece of history and say, this is what's happening now in life as we know it, 2020. And this is a piece of history that kind of mirrors what happened then, just choosing different subject matter to bring to fruition or to bring to the forefront so that we can be aware of it. So I think they were almost like, what is going to happen? Is Trump going to get elected? Is, you know what I mean? Almost like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think I really like what you and Cody said. So the one important thing I think is worth mentioning is in the book, they do give you a conclusion. Roosevelt gets reelected. They go back, they go to world, you know, history goes back into a formula of what would happen in real life. They go to World War II, they end up helping out, blah, blah, blah. So the director, I mean, the directors knew that. They made a decision to stop right here, right before. And I feel like it had a lot to do with them wanting to play on the fact that this is coming out on an election year in America. There's a little bit of more of a cynicism. Like they're more cynical in what they wanted to convey to us and how America, where America is, where America could be, and how politics directly plays a role in that and allowing. Because what did Lindbergh do? Lindbergh allowed the racists to feel empowered to show their racism even more.
Right.
You still have your racists. Either they're hiding or they're out and about. You know what I mean? So I think in when I think about it like that, I do like it. I want a bow. I want things concluded. I want things to be happy. I want you to tell me that it's nice and everything's gonna be all right. But they didn't do that on purpose, and it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But I think it conveys the point that they want to convey. And I think that's probably why I like it. But I wanted to go down. Actually,
can I just say something first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not expecting like everything to be like answered. I would just like to see a little bit more, like maybe 5 minutes more of it, seeing what life was like once like the new president got elected and then how the Jews reconformed to this new life.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I agree. It just literally stopped so abruptly.
Yeah. Okay, I feel you. We could stay on that for a while, but check out the book. So I do want to get into some of the characters and what we did see from them. I feel like there were some characters that reared their head in a very surprising way, and I wanted to hear what you guys thought maybe was the most surprising thing for you. I'm going to give you guys a couple of options for that. We have Alvin and Herman, and they fought like at the end, but Alvin comes back to the house. He's feeling himself. They get in a whole fight. And then Evelyn, the aunt, and Elizabeth, they have their moment as well. And she pretty much kicks. She's like, don't come back. I love you, but don't come back. And then I think the other candidate would be when Herman actually admitted to Elizabeth that he was wrong and that they should be in Canada right now. Was there a surprising moment from a character that you resonated with?
No. I thought they were all pretty spot on. I was not surprised that Herman and Alvin got into a fight that was kind of stirring up since the beginning. I was not surprised to see the sisters battling it out and her saying to herself, "Want to know what? I love you. I always will, but I will never forget and goodbye. Don't ever put my, because now you're in trouble. Now you want to come back to me and put my family back into trouble because the government may be coming after you." No, I didn't. I didn't see. I agreed with everything.
The fight was like really. I don't want to say I was surprised, but I did feel it was very. It was just a lot. It just came out of. I felt like it came out of nowhere. I do think that homeboy came in being all cocky and like sitting at the table with a cigar, like. He needed to chill out, but like it was just like they're breaking the doors, smashed with a coffee table. Like it was just very. I mean, maybe that was just it. The tensions were just there, and they finally. Well, I mean,
he spit on his face. At that point, we got.
Oh
fight.
Yeah, he deserved to get punched in the face. Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. And then with the sisters, what really blew my mind was Evelyn. Just, I mean, yes, I totally get Bess being like, "Get out! Like, what are you doing here? You have been so nothing but awful to us." But Evelyn's like, oh, they're blackmailing Lindbergh. They have his son. He's still alive.
me and my husband know this and they're going to come get me. It's like, what the heck? That was like just such a weird plot twist to throw in at the end that then kind of was like, well, it's the end of the series. But then like that, which maybe like that's why the FBI was like hanging out, because the FBI wasn't actually following the cousin, but the FBI was like asking them. I think they were just trying to keep tabs on Evelyn's family because they didn't want her to know. I don't know. That part just really tripped me out with the whole conspiracy, or not conspiracy, but the blackmailing of Lindbergh. And then what was the other fight? The other couple of people who were acting.
Talking about the family, the fight between Elizabeth and Herman. It wasn't really a fight so much as he just came in and admitted that he
I mean, that was like, I thought he realized that like the episode prior when he got punched in the face at that rally. But I guess he didn't. And it's like, yeah, dude, like too little, too late. Like it's you're stuck. Yeah. I thought they were gonna die when they went to pick up the boy and
oh my gosh, yes.
I was so nervous at that part.
That was the only time that I was holding my breath. That had to be the only time I was holding my breath. And I most certainly agree that someone spitting in my face in any instance. Look, so I'm a peace loving person. I'd like to think that I come in peace, love, and light and all that good stuff. But spit in my face and you will learn today. Okay? And you're in my home. You're in my home with my family and my children. You came in here cocky once again. You done lost your leg. You ain't learned nothing. You're not humble. There's no humility. You come in here with a good new little girlfriend and your cigar and you're talking big stuff. Not one time have you been humble enough to say thank you. Thank you for having brought me in. Thank you for allowing me to see on my own, making my own choices that maybe I made some bad ones, and still being willing to welcome me into your home. Not one time. All he wants to do is pop off at the mouth and think that he has a right to talk to people any way he wants because he's young and he's, you know, I was about to say spearheaded. That's not the word. Big-headed, bullheaded, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't think before he acts, and he just annoys the hell out of me for that very reason. So he deserved to get his ass kicked. You will not come to my house and spit on me. So that had to happen. The fight between the sisters, I live. I was so for it. I was so ready for somebody to finally say to the sister, like, enough is enough. Evelyn, you do not get to just run around with your thumb up your ass crying all the time about how I didn't know and I didn't do anything wrong and what's going on and oh my God. Like, everything.
You sound like her.
Right? She just is a whining. Oh, she made me so mad. She had no backbone. She just went from one thing to another, like whatever, you know, she thought was going to get her to the next space. And it's not even like she's an opportunist with like some malicious or malcontent, you know, it wasn't
she's just a sheep.
She's just a sheep. She's total sheeple. She's total stupidity. And then you have the gall to come to my house where I done already told you I don't get down like that. This is my family. Have you lost your goddamn mind? This is my children that you're putting us in harm's way because you made bad choices. Girl, bye. And yes, I can most certainly relate. Unfortunately, I have a friend of over 20 years. She recently visited me and I had to hug her and tell her I love you more than you can know. Tears were shed, the whole shebang, but do not ever call me again. And that is hard to do, but I have to love me more than I have love. I have to take care of me first. I can't give you what I don't have. And I have to put the stuff into me and my husband and my family. What you think? We're not going through it over here? They're going to come get me. Figure it the out. Okay.
Yeah. I love that you like.
I cannot stand her. You already know. And again, the argument between the, well, it wasn't even an argument, like the back and forth between the wife and the husband, between Evelyn. I'm sorry, not Evelyn.
No, I'm bad. And,
I got Elizabeth. It. Herman and thank you, Bess. Right. I liked it. I thought it was necessary. And I'm not about to sit here, although I want to so bad, and be like, he should have listened to his wife in the first place. We know what we be talking about. But no, I mean, she had time to think, like, he's headstrong too, right? And he's very digging your heels, and I'm going to feel how I'm going to feel, and I'm going to fight the regime without taking a step back and being like, this is our reality. And we have to make choices, not just based on how we feel, but what makes sense. I can only imagine in living in that time as a Black person, no knowing that the KKK is around the corner. I'm not saying run necessarily. I'm not telling you what to do in any way, but you do have to make smart choices as to whether or not you want to stay in this neighborhood, whether or not you want to go out at night when you know they're there. Like, you just have to make, and he was never willing to do that. It was always the wife that was like, dude, you're doing too much. Like, how about you just relax? And he was like, I got this. I got this. Then he comes in like, maybe we should have went to Canada. You think, bro?
Katie dropping them bombs as usual. There it is.
I'm just saying, y'all. You know, I could not wait till they cuss that little girl out.
Yeah, I think, and this going back to Evelyn. It's just it's interesting because none of these things she intended, but like she literally called someone the friend
to lose his their mom life.
Through his decision. You know what I mean? So it's like there's not a lot of there's at some point you're just like that's how you're gonna be. And I'm with you in the frustration towards her. One interesting thing that is also different about this story in this book that I think I would love to just throw in is that in the book everything is from the perspective of the youngest son. So there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information that the writers had to fill in on their own with characters like Alvin. Because think about the things that Philip never knew. I think it made the story a little bit more richer, getting more perspective on some of these characters in that way. So shout out to the writers on that front.
But guys,
we have a new segment, and we have a very special special segment for our last episode. We're going to do the special segment a little bit later, but I would love to let Cody do his thing on our new segment.
Heck yeah. So what I have today, and hopefully my computer didn't die. It did not. Good. Is from Slate.com. It's an exit interview with Ed Burns and David Simon regarding Philip Roth's novel For the Trump Era and its lessons for America in 2020. And it's basically an exit interview. And I it's actually pretty interesting what they talk about. But the one thing that we kind of touched on a little bit earlier in our show is the differences between the book and the show. And one thing that we have definitely talked about many times on this panel is Alvin and his and what he is for this show. So the question they ask them is, were there any other because apparently in the book, there's some background, Alvin and Evelyn actually aren't very big characters. Like they are there for, they're symbolic in whatever they do, but I guess they're not really on the forefront of the book. And so they say, were there any other characters who you thought about promoting to main character status? You could imagine the show following Walter Winchell more than you do, or Lindbergh himself. And Simon says, no, that wouldn't work.
Sorry, wait, what did he say?
I heard it and it was so he goes, no, that wouldn't work. The two characters that we granted POV outside the nuclear family, one represents appeasement and one represents resistance, Evelyn and Alvin. And they're part of they are part of the extended family, and they get you to everywhere you need to go. But it's not really a novel about Lindbergh or Winchell or Henry Ford. These people glance into it. But it's basically history as it's experienced by this family. So walking away from the power of the novel, which was the Roth family, or in our case, the Levin family, that would have undercut the entire process. So, I mean, we're talking about like the process of the show and like other characters, but I just thought it was interesting to hear what Evelyn and especially Alvin, what they symbolize for this book. And I'm under the impression that they're saying Alvin represents the resistance.
100%. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Because see that so much from him. And the same with, what was the word I said with Evelyn?
Appeasement.
And how she's like, this is a good idea. Let's do this. Oh, it's going to be so, like, it's just, she just wants everything to be silky smooth, but she doesn't realize what she's actually doing. Whereas he wants, anyway, I just thought it was interesting to put that.
She know what she doing. She know.
that's
stupid.
Good.
She's just stupid. You know what I mean?
That's really good. I think that puts a lot of perspective on the characters. I also read something about them in the sense that they represent like the people who are thrown into this situation that aren't necessarily devout Jewish in Jewish religion and practice, but they're in it because they're born Jewish, and so they still have to play a role in this, like, in this anti-Semitism in this society. So I really like that you shared that. That's really good perspective. Actually, I want to go ahead and jump to our special segment. We queued up a question beforehand, and now that the entire series has concluded, the limited series, I wanted to know what you guys' favorite scene, or it doesn't even have to be your favorite, it stood out the most or it moved you the most from the entire six-episode series.
I loved the part that when Alvin went to Pennsylvania to swap out cars, there was a newspaper already ready for him in the visor. And when he pulled it down thinking that keys were going to fall, also a newspaper fell. And on it, it said, President's plane is missing. And then he didn't get it at first. And then a second went by and he was like, holy shit. Like, that's what I was doing this whole time. Like, these people wanted to take down the president's plane. That's why they weren't really telling me. Like, so the fact that, like, he realized that what he did caused the president to get captured was just, I think it was the tip of the iceberg. Because this is when I feel like he was already bad to begin with. But now he was like, anything that I could do, there's something always going wrong.
Yeah.
If he goes to the war, he's in war for all the wrong reasons. He gets his leg blown off, and then he comes back home. Then he's having a problem. He's having like a hard time. Then he's going through all of these things, and then just, when this actually happens, I feel like that is the part that made him like, well, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I didn't care as much before, but now I'm not going to give a shit even more, because nothing that I could do when I think I'm helping someone out, they're always trying to take advantage of me. I don't know. I liked that scene because it was just the tip of the character.
It's good.
Kitty, can you go first? I'm actually teetering between two different scenes.
No problem. Real quick, I won't talk you to death. I just feel compelled to piggyback on what Ricky said. It's so funny that that's your perspective. I absolutely love these forums that we have, these panels, because it does give us the opportunity to be like, really? That's what you thought? You know what I mean? I think that's so dope, Ricky, that you saw it that way, whereas I saw it completely different. He is the role of opposition. So it's not that, oh, I try to do the right thing. And for me, it's not that, you know, he goes after stuff and says, I'm going to join the army for all the right reasons, or I'm going to quit my job for all the, like, I don't get the impression that he actually has good intentions going in. I think that he's just a fuck up. And his whole thing is about being like, I'm going to run through the crowd naked just to be oppositional. And that garners him nothing. He never gets good results from that. So that's just my personal, I love that you have a different perspective and a different take on it. But my favorite scene, y'all already know, the entire season, who did I complain about? That whiny, blindy, blah, 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 Winona Ryder. Yeah. So I'm glad that she got what she deserved, which was a wake-up call. You cannot just keep making these choices and think that there won't be any ramifications or consequences as a result. They have pulled your husband into question because he's not the great man that you keep trying to convince yourself of. Not assuming that he is. I think you see very well. You're not stupid in that you don't get it. I think you're stupid in the choices that you make, because it puts you in such a place that you can be a follower, a sheeple, as we said earlier, as opposed to a leader. She'll never be a leader. She'll never take her own self at task. Even now, you have the nerve to go to this woman's house and ask if she can hold you down. Would you expect her to like hide you in the closet like some Anne Frank situation? No, you made these choices. You keep thinking some man is out here to save you, and girl, don't nobody got time. So that was most certainly my favorite one, because I hated her character. Sorry, that's it. Everybody's like, okay.
I loved it.
We get it. We're all here for it.
Yeah.
She was a frustrating gal, to be for certain.
For sure.
I'm kind of teetering between a few scenes in my head, but I'm gonna go with one that really stood out for me today, was when Bess is on the phone with the boy. I can't remember the friend's name, the little boy.
Who's in Kentucky. Seldon.
She's on the phone with him. There's no H. It's just Seldon.
He's
obviously having his own thing where both his parents, he's like, my mom's dead. She's not home. And he's like a little boy. It's like, oh my God, he's probably scared out of his freaking mind.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Bess is on the other line in her house, and she's trying to console a child who's probably 2,000 miles away and alone.
He did kill that scene. She did murder. Yeah, yeah.
There's gunshots
outside. She like hitting the ground. Like,
oh yeah, that's okay. Right. She freaking like, she was by the window. She got on her knees on the phone. Like, there are gunshots outside my window. I'm talking to a little boy who was alone and scared. Like, it was just such, and you know, even before those gunshots went off, she was having, there's so much going on with her, just with her family and the intensity of the world. And that scene just like really was so powerful, I thought, because she had to like put aside the fact that someone could come through the front door right now and kill her, because she has to comfort a little boy who has nobody and nothing to comfort him in another state. It was just really powerful and
it was
really beautiful.
And she did a great job.
And you know what? Now they're even saying, yeah, she did an amazing job. And she freaking carried this show, I think. Like,
I agree.
Oh my gosh. What is her? Kazan is her last name. And I'm forgetting her first name.
Zoe.
Zoe Kazan. Yeah, she's nailed it.
So funny. I literally looked her up too. And her mom and dad are in the business. I think her dad is like a screenwriter. So she probably has been raised on this stuff. You know what I mean? For breakfast, she had Let's Watch the Dailies or whatever. You know, so that's pretty cool that she knew the ins and outs. But she murdered it in such a like quiet, unassuming way too, right? It wasn't like she was this powerful character that kicked in the door. It was more like, I'm going to play my position and I'm going to do what's asked of me. But I'm going to keep this train going. Like, she was the little engine that could.
That's normally who are the most powerful, is the people who are the ones that have the, like, the talkers is normally the ones that are the weakest in the whole room.
That's so funny you say that, because you know what it makes me think of, Ricky? Right. Essential workers. Like, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. You know how I do, y'all. We ain't going to talk about it to death, but you see, like, that correlation is there, right?
Yeah.
They paid like $13 an hour and now they're essential. Yeah. We literally have to utilize them in order to live every day. But yesterday they was dirty ass Burger King worker, you know?
Kitty, you in the rabbit hole, girl. You in the rabbit hole.
Sorry.
All right, we're going to bring it back in primarily because we're almost out of time. But I'm with you though. Shout out to all the essential workers out there. No, for real. That's real. Amen. You guys are actually literally holding us down.
So
that's actually a perfect way to close out here. A great show, a great group of people to be a part of. You guys are so smart. It's been a pleasure doing this show with you guys.
Indeed.
I have more laughs than probably we should in this show, but whatever.
Whatever gets us through.
Enjoying anything.
Amen.
For sure. So we have to close out. There's no need for predictions or anything like that, but I would love for everyone to sign out, say where people can possibly check you out since they won't be seeing you on this platform anymore. And then we'll sign out. Ricky, you can go first.
You can find me at Ricky Vitucci on all social media platforms. I'm mostly on Instagram and recently within the last 2 weeks on TikTok to go catch my funny dance videos. Hey, let's go.
Nice.
You can find me on Instagram at Cody Epp, CodyYYEPP, Twitter at Cody_Epp. And then I'm also doing Mrs. America After Buzz review on Wednesdays. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Take it away, Kitty.
That's what's up. On IG, I am Kitty Kaboom, KittyKaboom. And Kitty Meow on Twitter. I like that, Cody. I never think to do that. Tomorrow, I'm doing the Beastie Boys, so I cannot wait because it's going down. Hip-hop history. I threw white boys from New York City. Brooklyn. Nobody saw it coming. I said New York. UK all day.
There you go. All right, and I'm D'Angelo Friday, D'Angelo Platt Friday, depends on what day I decide to use which name. But you guys can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV. I'm also on Instagram at D'Angelo. You can literally just search my name. I guarantee you will find me as one of the first searches. It's been a pleasure to be with you guys.
Likewise.
You will see all these guys on different platforms because they're so talented. But yeah, we're out of here, man.
Let's Thank go. You. I appreciate you guys. This Thank really was you. Nice. I learned a lot.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.